And if you have a pile of kids in the back seat of your car, you know, there's going to be a constant refrain that comes up over and over and over again. Andrew, you know what it is? Are we there yet? Andrew's not even a parent, and he already knows. Yes, that's absolutely it. It's that, are we there yet? That over and over and over again. And I remember back as a kid, I understand what's going on. As a parent, I got frustrated by it. But as a kid, I understand what was going on. There was something you were looking forward to. And because you don't have the about where you are in connection with that arriving there, all you know is you want to get there. That this being in the car is not where you want to be. That it is where you want to be going is where you want to be. And so there's that sense of anxiety, that sense of, are we there yet? Are we there yet? That just frustrates the dickens out of everyone around you. But it's part of what it is to be a kid looking forward to a better time. That better time, that's what we're talking about. And as we're going to be talking today, I want to suggest to you that same feeling is how a lot of us are feeling in the midst of this pandemic, aren't we? We're tired of it. We're frustrated by it. We're frustrated by being cut off. We don't know how long it's going to last. We don't know how long this is going to take. When will we be restored to normal? Or when will we discover a new normal that is going to be something that we can find our kind of our balance once again in? When will we arrive at that promised land of new normal? Are we there yet? Now, as a parent in the front seat of the car, I was always tired of hearing that from the first time it was spoken. And I'm sure that God probably gets weary of hearing that from us too, but you know what? He's okay with that because he wants us to turn to him in the midst of our frustration, in the midst of our hurt, that we would look to him. Biblically, and this is what I want to look at here today, and for these next few weeks, we're going to be opening up a new study, a new series that is going to be biblically looking at the children of Israel after they have left Egypt, okay? They're on their way to the promised land. But it didn't happen overnight. It didn't happen right away. That there was a long period of time, 40 years, where the children of Israel would wander through the wilderness trying to figure out what it means to be God's people. That what they were looking forward to was not yet. And so there was always that sense of, are we there yet? Are we there yet? And while the answer was no, not for a while, not until those 40 years were over, I'm praying that this, what we're dealing with now, isn't nearly as long or as tenuous as that. But there are lessons to learn in that in-between. And that's what we're going to be looking at these next few weeks. We're going to be studying the book of Numbers. And I know all of you are probably out there going, yes! Right, Phil? Amen. Amen. The book of Numbers, because that's something that we all read in our devotional times, right? We all study it back and forth, back and forth. I might ask, have you ever heard a sermon that came out of the book of Numbers? It's not one of those books that we'd go to very often. It is one of those weird books back in the Old Testament that we often know that it's there, but we really don't know what's in it. We don't know what it's about. And so we're going to be taking a look at that because the book of Numbers is all about these lessons from the wilderness. What does it mean to be God's people when we're not out of the woods yet? How is it that we live in the midst of this world, this now but not yet that we're living in? It fits in pandemic era, but it also fits any other time because aren't we all that way? We're living in the midst of a broken world. Yes, we are redeemed and we have that opportunity that we're looking forward to that day of going to heaven. The promised land that we can see here is spiritual promised land. But we're not there yet. But we're living as people, preparing as people to move that direction. But even here in this pandemic, we are called to learn lessons about what it means to be faithful, even in the midst of our frustration. When maybe our survival is not in doubt, but that frustration and that division and that suspicion, all those things are all raging just below the surface. That's what we see throughout the book of Numbers. And I think that's what we see as we look around the world around us today, too. That there's a sense of dis-ease that we feel because we are not in a place where we want to be. Now, okay, so for those of you who are old hat, you understand the Bible, you know how it fits, I'm just going to walk through some real basic things because some people may not even know where the book of Numbers is. The book of Numbers is very near the beginning of the Bible, but again, it's not something that most of us have read through. The first five books of the Bible are referred to as the five books. How about that? That's pretty good, huh? The five books of Moses, the five books of the law. Sometimes they're referred to as the Torah. Sometimes they might even be referred to as the Pentateuch if you really want to get all like your smarty pants or something. And we know the Bible. We know the first five books of the Bible, don't we? We may not be able to quote most of the Bible, but we can get this far, right? Usually, at least a couple of them. Starts with Genesis, and then Exodus, and Leviticus, then Numbers, and then Deuteronomy. Those are the first five books of the Bible. Now, you see, there's our number four. Numbers is right there. But again, it's one of those books that we often overlook. Genesis has those old great stories of the early, of creation, and those ancient stories, and then the beginning of the covenant with Abraham and his children as it moves forward. And then at the close of Genesis, we find that the children of Israel have all moved into Egypt because of the famine and Joseph being there and all the rest. It's an incredible story. And the book of Exodus, we mostly know that one too because we've watched movies about it, right? Prince of Egypt and Ten Commandments and things like that, because that's where we find these stories of Moses and the deliverance of Israel out of Egypt, across the Red Sea, the giving of the covenant and establishing of the covenant in the Ten Commandments and the building of the tabernacle. Again, that's the one we often forget because the tabernacle doesn't make a lot of sense to us. This was a tent that the children of Israel packed up. It was at the center of their camp whenever they were encamped. And whenever they would leave, they would pack it up and take it to wherever they were going over the course of these 40 years. And it was there to be a place for the presence of God to dwell. Now, you and I, sometimes we hear stories about tabernacle. It doesn't seem to make any sense to us because we know that the Holy Spirit now dwells within us. That's part of this New Testament era that we live in. That if we accept Christ, the Holy Spirit lives within us, and that's a powerful and beautiful thing. But there is imagery here in the Old Testament of getting us ready to understand what it's about, and we see it here beginning in the book of Exodus and again in the book of Numbers. Now, if ever you've tried to read the Bible all the way through, do I have anyone here who's willing to admit that it's a challenge? Yes. Okay, there's some of you who've tried, and I'm not going to ask if you accomplished it. I'm asking if you tried. But once we get through Exodus, it gets hard. It gets the sledding gets tough, doesn't it? You get into Leviticus, and it's all these rules and regulations, the purity laws, and you're like, oh man, I don't know how I'm going to deal with this. And then you get into Numbers, and the reason it's called Numbers is it because it begins with a census. Who wants to read a census? It's tough sledding, folks. In fact, it has two censuses. It has one census at the beginning of their wandering period, a year after they left Egypt, and has another census as they're ready to move into the Promised Land some 38 years later. And so we have this weird bookends of this book of Numbers. So if you're reading Numbers, if you're like me, I start reading, I'm getting kind of bored with the census, and so I go to the end of the book to see if it changes, and it's another census, and I think, forget it, I'm not going to read the rest of this book. But it's the middle of the book that we're going to be looking at, because this is where the action is. This is where this 40 years of wilderness wandering and the lessons that people learned in it are going to be found. Okay, so that's the reason, actually, there's the name Numbers. Anyone know why it's called the Book of Numbers? Because it's a whole bunch of numbers. It's a census, okay? They want to know how many people were there in their group, and so this is the Book of Numbers. In the Hebrew Bible, for those Hebrew scholars out there, the name is Bemidbar, and Bemidbar literally means the wilderness. I kind of like that better, because that's really what the book is about. Sometimes we hear this thing, Numbers, and it seems like a weird name. But I want to jump into it today because we're going to be talking about a book unfamiliar to us, but yet important for us as we move forward. And recognize that if you want to read along with us, go right ahead and plow through the census and move up towards chapter 6, chapter 7, chapter 8, and we're jumping in at chapter 9 today. There's a lot of things we'll see in the weeks ahead. Stories that don't seem to apply today. There's the complaining when they're tired of eating manna, but we've never eaten manna. There's sending out a spies to check out the promised land, but we're not sending out spies to check out promised lands. You know, there's a lot of stories here that are sometimes difficult for us to understand and put into place. And the tabernacle story we're reading today is one of those. So let's go ahead and turn into chapter 9, verse 15, and recognize that this tabernacle here in chapter 9 is this mysterious presence of the Lord tent that is there in the midst of the camp. That throughout Exodus, in fact, twice in Exodus, we have a direction of how to build all the various things that need to go into place. And it's very detailed. So detailed, it's horrible to try to read. But it's important because how this place was set up was critical for the children of Israel to recognize it as God's presence. So on the day the tabernacle, the tent of the covenant law, was set up, the cloud covered it. Okay, now again, for us who are living in 21st century and we don't have a tabernacle, it doesn't make any sense. But we recognize that what he is describing here for us is that all the way through these 40 years in the wilderness, the tabernacle was the heartbeat of Israel, and there would be a cloud that would cover it. And the cloud represented, everyone would know that the presence of the Lord was there if the cloud was covering it. From evening until morning, the cloud above the tabernacle looked like fire. You've probably heard this. Maybe you've even heard allusions to it. This cloud by day, this pillar of fire by night, that's what we're looking at here. That's what we're finding here. And again, that's a weird thought, but what's going on? Okay, so that is how it continued to be, and the cloud covered it. And at night, it looked like fire. Whenever the cloud lifted from the tent, the Israelites set out. And wherever the cloud settled, the Israelites encamped. At the Lord's command, the Israelites set out, and at his command, they encamped. As long as the cloud stayed over the tabernacle, they remained in the camp. Now, before I read on, because there's more to this story than what we've read so far, do you get the picture of what's going on? There is this weird presence of the Lord in the midst of their encampment. And they can see it, they can taste it, they can feel it. They can see this cloud over the tabernacle, and as long as the cloud is there over the tabernacle, they know they need to stay put. Now, they're going to do this for 40 years. And whenever the cloud moves, be it in the daytime as a cloud or at night as a pillar of looking like fire, some sort of a glow, we don't really know because no one had a camera at that time. But whatever this looked like, when it moved, they knew it was time to move. And they would do this, learning how to follow God's lead as a people who had no idea that God even, prior to this, that God even cared about what their life looked like. I'm going to continue reading here in verse 19. When the cloud remained over the tabernacle for a long time, the Israelites obeyed the Lord's order and did not set out. Sometimes the cloud was over the tabernacle only for a few days at the Lord's command, and they would encamp, and then by his command they would set out. Sometimes the cloud stayed only from evening until morning, and then it lifted in the morning, and they would then set out. Whether by day or by night, whether the cloud lifted, they would set out. Whether the cloud stayed over the tabernacle for 2 days or for a month or for a year, the Israelites would remain in camp and not set out. But when it lifted, they would set out. At the Lord's command, they encamped, and at the Lord's command, they set out. They obeyed the Lord's order in accordance with his command through Moses. Friends, as we look at this again, maybe you've not heard a sermon talking about the tabernacle or about the cloud or the pillar or what's going on, but here in chapter 9 in Numbers, the person who is writing this for us, this is one of the books of Moses, and so he is putting this in, giving this remembrance of their history. And this, like so much of the Old Testament or even the New Testament, when we're reading about these biblical narratives, they are telling us a story of what happened in the past in order to instruct those of us living in the presence. And so for 40 years they do this. What's described here in these few verses is 40 years of history of every time that the pillar would move, they would pack up and they would go. And wherever the pillar would remain, they would remain. What is so important? What is going to be instructive for us about what happened over those 40 years? Except to know that what God was up to there for them and therefore is going to be up to for us is a desire to teach us how to move and how to move at his direction. Maybe you've struggled with this. Where should I go? What should I do? Maybe there's a conundrum that you're facing and you don't know exactly what to do or how to respond. Maybe it's a big thing like what vocation to pursue or the choosing of a potential spouse. You know, those are big questions that affect a person's life. Maybe there's small things that just happen to be connected with our pandemic right now, whether I should wear a mask or not wear a mask, whether I should, you know, whether we should open as a church or not open as a church, whether we should engage in some sort of online controversy or fight because someone said something that really ticked me off. You know, there's all kinds of things, all kinds of conundrums that we find ourselves wrestling with throughout the day. And I think what the book of Numbers is beginning to say is that for the children of Israel, they learned something very fundamental. And it's fundamental for us as well. What does it mean for us to hear the voice of God and to move at the command of God in a day-to-day way? Because that's what's happening here in Israel. They are learning to watch that cloud. If the cloud stays, they stay. If the cloud goes, they go. They are learning a habit, a life habit, of doing what God is intending them to do, what God has created for them to do, God is beginning to intend for them to do. We don't have the advantage of having God move in a tangible, visible way, like a cloud or a pillar of fire, but we do have ways that God speaks and wants to engage us so that we too can begin to develop a life habit of doing what He intends for us to do, of finding Him in the midst of the conundrums of life that we struggle with. Instead of losing sleep over something, we would bring it to Him and have Him begin to direct our steps. And we would find that something remarkable happens, even as it did for the children of Israel. I want to talk about three ways, because we cannot look for this pillar of cloud or pillar of fire to lead us now, but there are ways that we can begin to hear the voice of God, and I want to just have us be attuned to that for this week as we move. First way I want to suggest to you is this, is that God is going to speak to us, and the Spirit will help lead us through direct biblical instruction. Now, this is going to be one of two ways, but if you're not in the Word, you're not going to be able to hear this direction. This is why it is so important that we stay in the Word, that we get the application on our phone to read the Bible day to day and to keep ourselves studying that or working through the Bible in a year so that we can begin to understand how the Bible all fits together, or by making time on our Saturday mornings to get to this Bible study of 1 Peter and 2 Peter that's starting up in just a couple of weeks. Because if we don't stay in the Word, we will not be able to hear when God speaks to us in our current situations. Either it comes because you're reading something and the Holy Spirit pops it out at you, and I know many of you have had this experience too, that the Holy Spirit will pop it out to you even when you're not reading it. But if you haven't been reading it before, it's not there for the Holy Spirit to illuminate for you. And so it becomes critical for us that we stay grounded in the Word. The Israelites, the children of Israel, when they were wandering the wilderness, didn't have the Bible. They had the cloud and pillar of fire, but they did not have God's Word to help direct their steps. And we do. So maybe it's a disadvantage, but maybe it's an advantage to us. The psalmist says that God's Word is a lamp unto our feet, and that's what it's intended to be. It's to be that lamp that illuminates our way. Now, that's a beautiful visual image, but it's a profound reality. That if we don't allow God's Word to speak to us, we are like walking blind in the dark. And this world is too dangerous to walk blind in the dark through. That we need that lamp to guide our steps because the world is dark around us. And so God has given us this Word, and He said, I'm not going to give you the cloud any longer that leads to the tabernacle, but I will give you my Word, and it is for your direction. It is for your comfort. It is for you to be able to find your way to that promised land. Now, the second thing I'd like to point out, and that is number two, that is that God will also work. And the Holy Spirit, this is the beautiful thing about having the Holy Spirit residing in us, that when we experience Christ in our life and the Holy Spirit takes up residence, that the goal of the Holy Spirit is to guide our steps. then there will be a quiet leading that if we will learn somehow to quiet ourselves so that we can hear that voice. Then the Holy Spirit can begin to speak to us, and it can begin to lead us. And when we're facing a conundrum, when we're facing a challenge, when we're facing a situation that we don't know how we're going to get out of it, maybe if we can quiet ourselves enough, we'll be able to hear that quiet voice which speaks. The Spirit will speak to our spirit. Sometimes we call that we know it in our gut. Have you ever said that? I think all humans have that sense, I know something because I just know it. It's here in my gut and I know it. And that's part of what we're talking about, and it's part of even beyond, because it is how the Spirit begins to lead us. And sometimes we think, well, I think I know something. I've got to do it because the Holy Spirit's leading me. But we don't know for sure if it's the Holy Spirit or just my spirit. Ever been in that spot? Is this God or is this something else? You know, there's a few interesting ways of discerning that. One is because in Galatians 5, it tells us that the spirit, our fleshly desires are going to be in opposition to the Holy Spirit's leadings for us. And so that it's not so much fleshly desires. It has to do with our selfish nature. And so we can know a couple things. One, if you're feeling like you're in the midst of this conundrum, you don't know what to do, and you're following a selfish desire, that's probably a selfish desire. But if you're finding that in the midst of that, that you're taking a humble direction, maybe a loving direction of caring for somebody else, that's going to be almost exclusively the work of the Holy Spirit within you, because it is leading you to be His light, to be His hands, to be His feet. You know, why do we go down to the park Saturday morning, Jose? Did you have nothing better to do on Saturday morning but go down to the park and stand over a grill and make pancakes? Andrew, what were you thinking? I know, right? Yeah. I know, I'm still thinking, why did I do that yesterday? My gosh. Okay, that certainly wasn't a selfish impulse. But there was something in your heart and something in your head that said, that's something that I want to do. You heard about it and you said, something inside you said, yes. And it wasn't so I can go out there and sweat over a grill on a 110 degree day. It was because something inside you said, yes. You may not even know what that is, but you know what that is? That is the voice of the Holy Spirit saying, this is what I want you to do. I am guiding your steps. I'm not moving a cloud. I'm not moving a cloud of fire or a pillar or a fire or whatever. I'm not doing that to show you, but I am directing your steps. We need to listen. We need to listen to when God is moving in us and directing our steps that we would be able to hear. Now, again, that sometimes it's hard to discern, but almost always it's going to come down to, is this a selfish impulse? Because if it is, that's me. Sometimes we hear other voices too, and I don't want to discount this. Sometimes the enemy tries to make up this and speak voices into our heads as well. And those voices are almost always going to be condemning and shaming and telling you how you have no way out. The voice of the Holy Spirit is always going to be that voice which guides your steps. It is always going to begin to show a way out. It's always going to be. And so when you're hearing that other voice that says, oh, you screwed up and you can't make this up again. You screwed up, you're a failure, it won't work again. Know that that's not your inner voice, that's not the Holy Spirit's voice, that's the enemy's voice. So we need to be able to discern the difference of knowing that quiet leading and understanding how God speaks so that we can listen and get to know His direction. And the final piece I want to say is this, and this is I'm going to call it the check. That sometimes you've done this where you're getting ready to do something and all of a sudden there is just something that says, whoa, hold on. Pete, you been there before? You know what I'm talking about, don't you? That you're ready to do something, and it makes all the perfect sense in my earthly human mind, and I'm ready to go and ready to say yes, and all of a sudden it's like, stop sign. You know what that is? That is the Holy Spirit, because sometimes the Holy Spirit doesn't work in ways that make sense to our earthly minds. And if we only base ourselves on our own smarts and our earthly minds, we are diminishing the role the Holy Spirit has in guiding our steps. The children of Israel could have wandered out there on their own for 40 years, and they could have just kept going, not bothering to go where God went, but they chose instead to follow His steps, knowing that somehow in that they would be blessed. Galatians 5:25 says this, that since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. This is God's encouragement to us to know that there is a path for us. There is a pattern for us. There is a direction that he would have us go. We're not just free agents getting to choose all of our different ways in the world. No, God's got steps that he wants you to take. God's got choices that he wants you to make. God has your life lined out that he wants you to get on his page so that he can then bless you. Two things real quick. These are going to be lyrics to songs. There's a song that we used to sing here a couple years ago, and it's actually a pretty awesome song by Chris Tomlin. It's called I Will Follow. And I don't know this for sure. I've never talked to Chris about this. In fact, I've never talked to Chris because I don't know him, know of him. But there is a song that says, I will follow. Where you go, I'll go. Where you stay, I'll stay. When you move, I'll move. I will follow. That's how the lyric of the song goes. Does it sound like he's talking about Numbers 9? It does. Who you love, I will love. How you serve, I will serve. If this life I lose, I will follow. I will follow you. It's a powerful song of commitment saying that where God leads, that's where we're going to go. It's not going to be following our own desires. It's going to be following God's ways. And as we do that, we find this truth. And this is the truth of Numbers. I'm going to wrap it up here because in chapter 6 of the book of Numbers, there is a prayer that was spoken over the children of Israel. It was spoken over them by a man named Aaron. And so therefore, it has become called the Aaronic blessing. Not the ironic blessing, the Aaronic blessing. And the Aaronic blessing says this, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. And the Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. That is at the core. Now hear this. That's in chapter 6 of Numbers. This is the foundation upon which all of these lessons that we're going to learn are going to be rooted back in this reality. That it's not God trying to keep something from us. This is the way that God is going to bless us. This is the way that he is going to allow for us to be provided for. This is how he's going to reveal his good, trustworthy nature to us. And this is how God will take us on the path of peace, as we learn to listen, as we learn to follow, as we learn to trust his guidance for our steps, we begin to walk on this path of blessing. Now this morning as we wrap up, we're going to sing a song that is rooted in that prayer, in that blessing. And some of you have heard it before, some of you have sung it before. We're going to invite you all to not only hear it and have it be sung over you, but also to sing it out as well. This is our desire to bless others as well as to find our source of blessing and allowing God's face to shine and his grace to come through us. So would you stand, and then we will sing the song and close after the song. This is called The Blessing.